welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brower and Austin Brower Show. So glad you're with us today, and we've had a busy weekend being on Hagman and Dave Hodges this weekend, so we're ready for some fresh news to go. And so, Austin, what's your first story today?
Yeah, I got a few things over here. Cornucopia Institute, which is a public interest group of thousands of organic farmers and consumers, have now filed a lawsuit against the USDA and the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, alleging unqualified individuals have been put in place now to determine what is organic. And essentially what's been going on now is the USDA has brought in individuals that have little to no experience at all with organic products, organic compounds, anything. It's not saying where they are from or what their background is. I have a feeling it has something to do with Monsanto again, which is more than likely what it is. But they go on to state now, they're filing pretty aggressive lawsuits. They said the whole point of the Organic Food Protection Act in 1990 is to establish national standards governing the marketing of certain agricultural products as organically produced products. And they state in the lawsuit, the defendants do not align with the interests of owners or operators of organic farm operations over half the time. These unqualified individuals do not have the requisite experience and knowledge and personal investment in certified organic production agriculture to properly advocate for the interests of organic farmers. So we'll see how this goes now, since they're making a pretty big deal about it, which they should. But again, you can't expect much out of the USDA. They're the ones that, you know, go in and raid organic milk farms for, you know, selling raw milk. So you can't put much past them, but I'm glad that the Cornucopia Institute is filing a lawsuit to try and get some of these yak-yaks off the board that have no idea about organic supplements and food. You still with me?
I'm with you, buddy. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, on to another story again.
Thanks, buddy.
Police departments around the nation have taken predictive crime prevention to a new level by building fake user accounts, as well as posing as genuine people to gather information about local events. Local agents now are putting on a digital mask and pose as members of the community, allowing them to gather personal information about suspects they consider a high risk of being involved in future crime or having existing charges. And a social media guide for law enforcement officials published by the Justice Department, the document details officers create fraudulent profiles, even though Facebook officially bans the practice, but Facebook does not take them down. Departments are also beginning to use predictive analytical policing software, allowing authorities to patrol local neighborhoods based on social networking posts. And I talked to this a couple months ago about the predictive software they were using, coding stuff as green, yellow, and red by housing and addresses. And actually, when they get a call in, they'll dispatch to the officer. This happened a lot out in L.A. and California. They'll say, this house, you know, predictive software is listing this house as a red. You know, proceed with caution. Do not enter the premises without backup. And a lot of times it can be completely skewed for past residences, especially on rental houses and such forth. Well, now they're doing this with Facebook. So if people are emotionally upset and publish something like that on Facebook, the software automatically picks up the labeling, then labels the neighborhood a high-risk alert, alerting law enforcement to occupy those areas. This is just becoming more and more of a police state as we see this happening now. A Business Insider, which published by Business Insider, one police officer answered a LexisNexis survey that he was looking for a suspect related to drug charges for over a month. When he looked him up on Facebook and requested him as a friend from a fictitious profile, the officer was accepted, and the individual kept checking in everywhere he went, so they were able to track him down and arrest him almost immediately. Another respondent wrote, social media is a valuable tool because you're able to see the activities of a target at his comfortable stage. Targets brag and post information in reference to travel, hobbies, places visited, appointments, circle of friends, family members, relationships, actions, etc. The NYPD has even gone extremes by using photos of young, attractive women on fake Facebook pages to spy on gang members. However, no one knows if these agencies use these photos with or without the consent of the person photographed. But again, guys, this just is another example. The reason why I brought this up is another example why you guys need to stay off Facebook. Just stay off. If you're using it for a business, if you're using it to get in touch with a family member, you know, email them back and forth, that's one thing. But these stupid, ridiculous posts I see people putting online all the time, I'm drinking coffee right now, I'm at so-and-so right now, I'm going on vacation for 2 months and nobody's going to be in my house. Okay, this is just, it's moronic, guys. You need to wise up and be smarter than this. Anybody listening that has a Facebook page, you really need to question the reasoning why you're using Facebook. This right here just goes to show you it's a massive, massive intrusion into your reality, into your life, into your privacy, into your rights, into everything. And it's really not something I recommend using at all, like I said, unless you have a specific need for it. But posting stuff like this, like they even said on here, hobbies, traveling, places visited, appointments, relationships, actions, this is stuff that just does not need to be public knowledge. And the police have found this, and that's why they've tapped the source into it. It's a little honey hole. They can find all this information out on people without even having to get a search warrant because it's actually just open knowledge on the Internet. So just do yourselves a favor and stay off Facebook unless you absolutely have to use it. And don't add anybody or don't allow anybody to be accepted as a friend unless you specifically knew who they are. That's what it even says in this article. It says you need to make sure you look out for fake user accounts and don't allow anybody you don't know to be added on there so they can see all your stuff.
Well, that's great advice, Austin. In fact, I still to this day don't understand why people do that. I know that social media is very, very important from a marketing standpoint, but I've also learned that just maintaining good customer relations and good customer service and doing what you say you're going to do and providing a high-quality product are also good. You know, we tried to do the Facebook for a while. You know, years ago we had a guy named Kevin in, and he was actually running all of our media stuff that we have. And we couldn't find a way to make it work as far as how to monetize it, because by the time you pay these computer guys to do all of this stuff, there's really not a lot of revenue that it generates. As far as a good premium brand image, we already had that. We've been around for 35 years, so that wasn't an issue. The problem was that, you know, a lot of our clientele are basically patriots and people that are careful about what they do and what they look at, and they don't want to sign up on Facebook. They don't want to have tweets sent to their cell phone every 20 minutes. And, you know, I still do. I have a personal list that I have for my home of about 100 people, and I send out emails to those folks every day as far as updated news, as far as the world, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't go into detail with anybody as far as what my travel plans are or what I'm doing or where I'm going, because it's not necessary. All it does when you start doing that and broadcasting what you're doing and where you're going and you know, what you got for Christmas and all that kind of nonsense is you're asking people to get on your Facebook account and just steal stuff from you. That's all it is. And so I'm glad this is a wake-up call for a lot of people because people need to realize it. Here's another article. Halliburton fires one-third of its global staff. This is interesting. It says, what we are experiencing today is unsustainable. This is from Zero Hedge. In a brutally frank and painfully honest first quarter operational update, Halliburton president Jeff Miller poured freezing cold water all over the oil is stabilizing and everyone is going to be awesome narrative. After explaining that the firm had laid off one-third of its global employees and pointing to the collapse of sequential revenues across every business unit, Miller exclaimed, what we are experiencing today is far beyond headwinds. It is unsustainable. My definition of unsustainable market is one where all service companies are losing money in North America, which is where we are now. Again, we've lost the manufacturing sector, Austin. It's pretty much in China now or in Mexico. Now we have these, quote, service-related companies like to provide services to the American people, and now we're losing those. You know, when you have the phone rooms moving to India, the phone moving to the Philippines, pretty soon there aren't going to be any jobs for the American people. That's why 100 million people in the United States are right now are unemployed. And many of those people would be working still to this day if we had not shipped all of our manufacturing overseas. What do you think, Oz?
Well, it is. That's a significant problem that we're seeing here in the United States. And, I mean, there's a reason why our unemployment rates continue to explode. It's not the 4 or 5% that the propaganda media keeps telling us over and over again. Much, much higher than that. And that's one of the key factors of it, is that we're moving all the jobs, outsourcing them to all these other countries now. And so you're exactly right. And now we're running into this issue where these states are starting to mandate these $15 an hour wage hikes, which is going to make it even more difficult for people to keep jobs, because because what's going to happen is there's not going to be any entry-level positions anymore, guys. Nobody understands this. Not only what we've already talked about, what it will start doing to the economy as far as the cost of goods, the cost of transport, the cost of cooking, all this stuff. But when you start forcing small companies to pay people minimum of $15 an hour or more when they start off for a job, I mean, so you're going to have an entry-level, you know, dishwasher in a restaurant making $15 an hour, and I'm not knocking that job. It has to get done. Somebody's got to wash the dishes. You have somebody bussing tables. You're going to pay $15 an hour. You can't afford that. So, I mean, you're going to have to start cutting corners where you have to cut them. So that's going to be another nail in the coffin, and that's not going to start happening until the next couple of years. But when we see that happening, it's going to be even more of an incentive for a lot of these big industries to push even more jobs outside of the country, because at that point, it'll be extremely cost productive to keep costs down when you can have them made in China, you know, for 20, 30, 40 cents an hour, whatever they pay those guys over there. It's horrible. Instead of having stuff made here, I mean, if you just need something basically made, and, you know, a minimum wage employee can usually handle a task, something very simple like folding a cardboard box for a box that you're shipping out. Well, now you have to pay that person $15 an hour. You guys can't, nobody can afford that. So that's another aspect that I think is going to be interesting in the next couple of years. It's definitely going to be pretty wild to watch. It's an interesting time to be alive. I have to admit that.
Well, you got to remember, you know, the whole thing is this. You know, Jim Rohn said he's a may he rest in peace. He was a professional speaker and motivator and business philosopher back from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And of course, I think he died in 2006 or seven. I did multiple seminars with Jim Rohn. In fact, he's one of the key people that I used to listen to on an ongoing basis when I first got started in business. And he said, when they asked him about the minimum wage, he said, there already is no cap on how much money you can earn. He says, the problem is, he says, when you start setting minimum wages at a higher level, the people that are not trained are not expected to perform or to grow or to get better. He said, what ends up happening is we already have unlimited amounts of money per hour that you can earn because of what profession you decide to go into. He said, but the problem is, he said, these people that are learning like a kid who's 14, 15, 16 years old, depends upon the law in your state, now they get a part-time job with you and they're worth, quite frankly, they're worth $5 or $6 an hour. Some of them are just absolutely awful. They've never been taught to work by their parents. And you've got to literally train these kids and help raise them. Now you're going to give them $15 an hour. You're going to give them $600-$700 a week. Are you really going to do that? And the sad part about it is because, you know, $600 a week, plus you got to match the Social Security taxes, which is another $50, $60. Then you got to play workman's comp on them. So you're going to have $700 a week in this employee that doesn't even know how to wash a dish. And so it's nonsense. Here's another article. This is from The Guardian. Yours for $1, 58,000 deadweight ton bulk carrier, one previous owner, cargo ship. The Guardian, Goldenport, one of the last shipping companies left on the London Stock Exchange, has delisted from the market and sold off six of its remaining eight vessels for $1.69 apiece. The giveaway reflects the most dismal shipping conditions in decades, as reflected by the Baltic Dry Index, caused by the economic slowdown in China, combined with an oversupply of vessels due to a building spree during a previous boom. John Dragnes, the chief executive of Goldenport, said the company's lenders and shareholders had agreed to sell the fleet off at a time when the company had debts of more than $100 million to RBS and other banks. The value of the vessels is less than the value of the loans due to the extreme market conditions. Richard Fulford Smith, the founder of Affinity Shipbroking Firm and a leading figure in the London maritime scene, said the bulk shipping markets were in a sad state and there could be more bankruptcy and exits before any bounce back. Fulford's added, I will probably be retired by the time there's any real recovery. Wow. So we're seeing now this fallout from this huge... See, what the problem with China is, Austin, they lie. They're still saying their growth is 6, 8, 10% a year, who depends on who you listen to over there, and it's not. They're in a negative growth, just like the whole planet is, but they continue to lie because they're a communist nation. They're not accountable to anybody. If you say something about the government over there, you just disappear and they sell your organs. That's what they do. It's hard to believe, but that's what they do. And so we have to realize that, you know, guys, we've said this 100 times to you on the show. Do everything you can to get out of debt, get your credit cards paid. If you have to file bankruptcy because you've made some bad mistakes, file bankruptcy, get it over with, be done with it. Don't drag it on, drag it on, drag it on, drag it on. Soon indentured servitude will be back upon us. Soon they're going to be charging you massive, massive, massive penalties if you don't have your Obamacare health insurance. Soon they'll actually become able to come in and start garnishing your wages if you don't have Obamacare. I'm telling you what's going to happen. See, well, they can't do that right now. All they can do is take away a refund. Okay, well, that's where it starts. Give it 10, 12 more years. It's called Cloward and Piven. Pretty soon they can charge you $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 a month for health insurance. And if you don't pay it, they'll simply turn around and garnish all of your wages. This is what they want to do. This is why it was so draconian when Roberts agreed to this Obamacare as a tax. Because it doesn't matter how much it costs, you have to pay it. They'll simply send you the bill or put you in indentured servant prison. That's what they want this to do. It's all part of the final nail in the coffin of the United States of America. We need to get rid of Obamacare. It needs to completely go away. People don't need that. And plus, the reality is the cost of medical care in the United States is astronomical. You know, you have surgeons and doctors making over $1 million a year who basically are just cutting people and hacking on people all the time. You have hospitals that are supposed to be nonprofit corporations that are making literally billions and billions of dollars throughout the United States, but they're supposed to be nonprofit. See, this is the problem that we've run into. So now we've got a situation where Obamacare is going to be the death knell if we're not careful to get rid of this mess. That's why we have to get Donald Trump in there, and we have to get rid of Obamacare. What they did isn't going to work. The only way you can have socialized medicine in the United States, Austin, is you've got to set rates via the government, and everybody basically gets free health care through the income tax structure. That's the only way to make it work. Nobody has to pay an insurance company anything, and everybody has to pay like $150 a month or whatever out of their paycheck or through the income tax. And what ends up happening, then you get the socialized medicine like they have in Europe or like they have in Canada. And Canada is so bad, you may have to wait for 1 or 2 years if you need surgery to get in the waiting list, which, of course, when you do that, they hope that you'll die before the surgery, and that way they don't have to worry about doing it. So it's kind of crazy. By the way, Kuwait now is going to DNA test everyone, including tourists, no exceptions. Remind me not to go to Kuwait. This is Sputnik News. The legislation that will make DNA tagging mandatory will come into effect later this year. After that, each and every person entering the country will undergo a mandatory DNA sampling. This will be done by taking samples of blood or saliva by the person's choice. Refusing to undergo such a procedure will cause consequences that have yet to be specified. According to Kuwaiti officials, this measure will help in crime investigations and keeping track of people. But they exclaimed the practice won't affect the people's freedom of privacy. Of course not. Kuwait will become the first country in the world to implement total DNA tagging and create a national security DNA database. In order to do that, a sampling station will be deployed in the Kuwait National Airport. Mobile DNA testing centers will move through the state performing DNA testing on people in a way similar to ID check by policemen. The DNA tagging will only be used for criminal security purposes, according to Kuwaiti officials. This is ridiculous. And I'm telling you guys, remember what I told you when we started talking about the Morgellons bacteria and the Morgellons antenna and tying us into the artificial intelligence? The only reason that DNA testing would be used would be to be able to isolate and identify you. Now, if they can get a DNA reading on you, they know who you are, they can track you via your DNA, via the Morgellons antenna. We've talked about this in detail on what chemtrails are being used for, the hidden agenda behind this entire thing, tying us all into the artificial intelligence. But what they want to do is sidestep this, speed it up. They're going to beta test this. Kuwait's a very small nation to see if they can pull this off, if the people are going to be sheeple enough to open their mouths and get a cotton swab in their mouth and take samples of cells. That's how they do it. I've had DNA testing done before, and the truth of the matter is that's what they do. They reach inside of your mouth, they take a cotton swab, and then they send it to a laboratory, and they map your DNA. That's what this is all about. And so the sad part about all of this is there are going to be consequences if you don't do it. What the heck does that even mean, consequences, Austin? Are they going to take you out back and shoot you? Are they going to deport you? Are they going to behead you? Are they going to torture you? Are they going to tase you? What does consequences mean? This is a ridiculous policy that's going to only end in a misery for the people that live in Kuwait or those who travel. What do you think, Oz?
No, it is. That's the complete totalitarian police state run out of control. That's exactly what it's going to turn into. I personally don't think there's going to be enough people over there that are going to go along with this. You're going to have a good portion that are probably going to be sheeple, like you said, but I really don't think a lot of people are going to go along with this. What they'll probably do, the consequence will probably be some type of arrested, something like that. But then what's going to happen is once everybody realizes how draconian this is and how invasive it is, if more and more people start surging and rioting, they're not going to be able to do this. But again, like you said, I could be completely wrong. This is more than likely a beta test to see how effective this procedure would be. But again, that's where all this DNA stuff comes down to, the biometrics, the cashless society, the mark of the beast. It's not here yet, but it's in the process of working its way into the system. That's how all this stuff starts. They knew there was no way they were just going to be able to come out in the United States and say, okay, 2010, we're implementing Obamacare. You got to get a mark in order to get your Obamacare. We need DNA samples. Everybody has to conform or else you're going to be thrown in prison for life. Wouldn't work. They know that. So what they're doing is they're slowly doing it. And to go back to one thing you said about Obamacare, the prices that we've seen now in the medical industry with hospitals have gotten so astronomical. This is another reason why the entire healthcare system is not functioning the way it should, is because the prices are outlandish. A couple friends of ours had a baby last year at Celebration Hospital, pretty nice hospital over in Central Florida, and they were there for 3 nights, no C-section, no surgery, nothing. This was just a standard baby delivery. It took 3 nights as far as after they held her, checked her out, blah, blah, blah. It was $39,000. $39,000. Almost $13,000 a night to be in this hospital for a baby delivery. No C-section, no surgery, nothing. Nothing. Almost $40,000. They had insurance, so they only had to pay like $8,000 or $9,000, which was still completely outlandish. Another reason why we chose to go with the midwife as well, it's a flat $5,500 to go through a midwife, and they still take insurance, which will cover part of it. But still, at that, it's still substantially cheaper. You get a way better environment to be in, and you're not feeding that entire medical hospital industrial complex with another $40,000. But the truth about it is the insurance companies never pay that kind of money. But if you don't have insurance, you better believe they're going to make you pay eventually, or you're going to pay, you know, little payments the rest of your life is how they do. You got a payment plan with them, which is another indentured servitude, just like you were talking about.
Well, no, it's true, because years ago you hurt your ankle on a motorcycle accident and your knee, and you had to have surgery. And what happened, the bill was like $38,000, $39,000. My deductible was like, I think, $8,000 or whatever it was. And I remember the final bill ended up being like $6,000. And to the hospital, the insurance company had to pay nothing. And they actually negotiated the price down with the insurance company from the hospital down to $5,000 or $6,000, which I had to pay all of it. So the insurance company was completely off the hook. This is the unbelievable scam they're running on the American population. The insurance companies never pay the rack rate price. They never pay that. Never, never, never did they pay that, because they don't have to. They negotiate it in the back corners of the room, and they say, look, we're not going to pay that. That's ridiculous. It's stupid. We're not going to do it. For instance, the birth. Those people who paid that birth, the $6,000 or $7,000 or $8,000 they had to pay out of pocket, that was probably the only thing the Celebration Hospital got, was that $7,000 or $8,000. The insurance company probably had to pay nothing. And one time I asked the insurance company, after this whole thing with you had happened with your knee or your ankle, I asked them, I said, well, what would have happened if we hadn't had insurance? Well, you'd have to pay the whole $39,000. And I'm like, well, that's not right. They said, we don't care. We'll garnish your wages. We'll take you to court. We'll sue you. You will pay the bill. And I'm like, but you don't make them pay it. We don't care. We have a prior contract relationship with them. They don't have to pay it. That's how screwed up this is. That means they can do the $39 surgery for $5,000 or $6,000 and still make a profit. I guarantee you they made a profit. The problem is they don't want the average sheeple to know that. They want to force you to have health insurance, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a month, whatever they can squeeze out of you like blood out of a dying, gasping man. That's what they want. Because that's how they destroy the system. That's how they completely and totally corrupt the system, cripple the system, implement, you know, Cloward Piven, and get the United States to fall to its knees, which is falling very quickly. The United States is falling now. It hasn't gone to its knees yet, but it's about halfway down and is stumbling. And if we don't get somebody in that White House who's not a lying sack of crap, then we're going to have this thing continue on and on and on. And I'm talking about, we don't need Hillary, we don't need Cruz, we don't need Kasich, we never needed Bubble Boy Rubio. But I tell you what, guys, we got one chance at this left. And I tell you what, I believe that with all of my heart. If Hillary Clinton becomes president of the United States, there's no way on God's green earth that this country's going to survive two terms of her. I mean, it'll be over with. They'll be coming after the guns and everything else. Plus, remember, all of these Supreme Court justices, a lot of them are in their late 70s and early 80s. They want to retire. We've already got one vacancy on the bench. So it could get worse. I mean, we could have all of this Supreme Court stuff coming down from a liberal bias on top of everything else. And that's the final end run they're going to try to do to get the guns away from everybody else and to disarm the American population, like they've already done in Canada, like they've already done in Australia. By the way, on Prince, let me give you an update on what happened with Prince again. I did a show this morning with Mancow for about half an hour. I was off and on between breaks. And what was interesting is Prince apparently had a problem with epilepsy when he was small. And he supposedly outgrew this epileptic seizure problems that he was having, but because they said he may have been on drugs and Percocet, which is basically a cocaine product with Tylenol on it. He had overdosed on that here a while back ago. He had to have a stop at a hospital. You know, he may have been taking a lot of flu medication from the chemtrail flu because he had the flu real bad. And these flu medications can actually trigger seizures. So he could have had a seizure in the elevator, but I don't know that. But all I know, when he wrote the song, Dreamers, if you read that song, he talks about chemtrails in that song. Now, I tried to listen to the song, but that's not my music genre. I really, be honest with you, it's quite awful. I really couldn't even understand it. And so I listened to the first 20 seconds of it and had to shut it down, so I pulled the lyrics up. But guys, listen to me. Prince was another one of those guys that was an insider. He knew what was going on. He knew too much, and he started talking. Suddenly, here we are, the end of April, when they have this big Beltane sacrificial ceremonies going on all over the planet, and suddenly, we've talked about this multiple times on the show, suddenly, he dies in an elevator, which would, he was terrified of the elevators. He equated the elevators of being Lucifer or Satan. In fact, they actually had a movie out a few years ago where Satan lived in a Lucifer, in an elevator, which is kind of crazy. So the nuttiest thing about all of this stuff is, you know, he gets an autopsy. He's having a full-blown autopsy. He's a pop singer, right? Worth about $300 million. We have a full-blown Supreme Court Justice Scalia dies mysteriously with a pillow over his head at a remote ranch in western Texas, and suddenly, no autopsy, nothing to see here, move on. Are you joking me? This whole thing is so controlled and so obfuscated, Austin, and the sad part about it is the population of the country doesn't seem to want to wake up. It's really sad. What do you think, son?
No, that's exactly what's going on. If we're not careful, we're going to go the way of China and their complete and total police state that they have over there. They're bringing out these new robocops that look like these giant vacuum cleaners. They're rolling out a giant surveillance devices to keep tabs on unruly citizens. The weighing in at 78 kilograms and standing 1.5 meters tall, it's called Anbot, is being billed as Chinese first robot security guard. This is when I heard about this. The first thing I thought was that movie with Will Smith, I, Robot. And the system made its debut at a high-tech fair earlier this week. The security robot is capable of autonomous patrol, intelligent monitoring, emergency calls, and has optional modules for environmental monitoring and biochemical detection. The robot looks more like a roving spy for the state than a cyborg crime fighter. The robot will be used in many public places such as airports, stations, and subways, and get this, and also to help police officers with anti-riot missions. It has cameras, sensors all over. It basically monitors, listens, feeds back everything that it's exposed to back to the main control grid that is running it. So they can just kind of float around the streets, you know, just undetected to most individuals. But it's got super good hearing, super good visual, cameras all over, and it can pick up on just about anything. So what they're going to do is they're going to allow this to be used as surveillance. So when anybody talks anything unruly about the Great China, anybody wants to start inciting a riot, anything like that, they'll immediately have their voice recognition and more than likely video on file, and they'll immediately go pick them up and detain them. And like you said, Dad, they just kind of make them disappear and sell their organs, which that's not a joke, guys. You can look that up. Remember, China is still like one of the only countries in the world that has the one-child policy, that has mandated forced abortion past that. You don't don't believe me, look that up as well. It's unbelievably disgusting that they do this upon their citizens. So that whole country over there is getting real weird. Now they have autonomous surveillance robots running around. I'm sure it won't be long before they have more autonomous drones flying around with either more monitoring. It doesn't stop there. It just keeps going downhill from what it looks like.
Well, I got a feeling the Chinese people are going to be putting a black sheet over them. We cut a couple holes out for the eyes. When they see a robot rolling around the street, they're going to throw a sheet over it, beat it half to death, and dump it off the side of a bridge and disable it, throw it out in the water. I mean, I don't think that, you know, people are going to really tolerate that in China. But I say what, they're pretty draconian. I have a friend of mine over there now. He was in an accident on his moped. When he was in the accident, it was his fault, and he hurt a pedestrian apparently. And the pedestrian had to go to the hospital and have surgery. They have since taken my friend's passport away from him, and they have told him, even on his meager salary that he's making, that he has to pay for all of the hospital bills. He will not be allowed to ever leave the country until those bills are paid, and then regardless of how many years it takes. So when you get into these third world, well, China's not really a third world country, parts of it are, but some of it's really an industrial mecca. But when you get into these countries over there that are these, like this, the China countries, number one, the pollution is so horrible you can barely breathe. And number two, you don't have any rights, dude, as an American citizen. I mean, they've taken most of our rights away anyhow, which is kind of sad because those are God-given, unalienable rights that they decided they were no longer going to take away, which they can't even take them away because God gave them to us. But it doesn't make any difference. We, the sheeple, being so dumbed down with fluoride and statin drugs and GMO foods and immunizations and mercury, and this list just goes on and on and on. I don't want to go into nauseam with it again today. All these different chemical compounds are absolutely destroying the population. In fact, listen to the last 2 hours of the Dave Hodges show last night, or the 3 hours of Doug Hagman's show this past weekend. I went into detail on a lot of these different topics, and I tell you what, guys, it's all real, and they're waiting to basically put a big squeeze down on America. Here's another one. GM, this is from Sputnik News, GM to halt 4 U.S.-Canadian plants production after the Japanese earthquakes because of a raw material shortage. General Motors said that it would halt production at 4 plants in the United States and Canada for 2 weeks since Monday due to the supply chain problems caused by recent earthquakes in Japan. This temporary adjustment is not expected to have any material impact on GM's full-year production plans in North America. In addition, the company does not expect a material impact to its second quarter or full-year financial results for GM North America. So what's happening is we're having these trickle effects. We got shipping containers and just ships being sold for a dollar. We got containers sitting around rusting. We've got ships that are completely just falling apart. And you say, well, why would they sell a ship for a dollar? Well, let me tell you why. Maintenance. Ships are extremely... Years ago, Austin and I went to St. Petersburg, Russia on a cruise ship with Sharon. This has got to be 20 years ago now. Anyhow, maybe 18 years ago. Austin was still young. And we went, and the ship sailed past the Kazakhstan naval base for all the Russian ships. And this is when Russia was supposed to be our big enemy, right? This is back in the 90s. And I'll never forget this, Austin, and you remember this too. As we're sailing by, half of the warships, the frigates, and all the things that were sitting at their moorings at the docks had sunk. The tops of the ships were sticking up, or the hulls were three-quarters submerged, and the ships were sunk. They had rusted out at their moorings. They had rusted completely through. Water had filled them up. Russia was so broke that these warships had sunk at their moorings because they didn't have the money to maintain the ships. In fact, that was the same time when we were there when that submarine had sunk up there in the North Sea, and they did not know how to retrieve it because it had gone to the bottom, and they didn't have a rescue vessel that could come get the people out of the sub, and they died. Now, sadly, this is what's going on in our shipping industry. We've overbuilt the ships, and they're having to be maintained, and nobody wants to pay for the shipping to be maintained because salt water does a number on iron. It really does. It reacts with it. It causes massive, massive oxidation. It's kind of like airplanes. I've got a friend of mine who owns a jet. Last month, he had to do a level 4 service on it. It was $80,000. It's a small plane. It's like 8 people on it. It's like a little Citation 5. $80,000 for the service on it. Now, I asked him, I said, was that because how many hours was the engine? He goes, no. He goes, this is because of the age of the airplane. And every so often you have these service intervals in which you've got to repair stuff even if you haven't flown the aircraft. He said, so if you don't use a jet, he said, there's no reason to have it. It's too much to maintain it from the FAA. He said this month, he goes, it was 80,000 last month. Now we have to have another service done on it this month. It's 150,000 this month. So in 2 months, he spent $230,000 on this jet just in maintenance alone, not including fuel, not including the pilot, not including anything. See, a lot of people want to believe God for this or that or this or that. And the problem is every time you believe God for stuff and you accomplish your goals, and he does these things for you and he helps you to achieve the goals, the problem is you still have to maintain everything. I know that's why all these big mansions went for such a small amount of money that were built back in the 90s and early 2000s, because these people were building these $10,000 and $15,000 and $20,000 homes, you know, and they were basically flipping them. But all of a sudden, some people got stuck holding on to them. Suddenly, they needed a new roof. And all of a sudden, the roof, because it was the way it was made, it wasn't going to be $6,000 or $8,000 for a roof. It was going to be $60,000 or $80,000 for the roof. Or it needed, you know, it's got 25 tons of AC in it, and 20 tons needs to be replaced. And that's going to be another, you know, $40,000 for the ACs. See, nobody understands. When you've got a lot of stuff to maintain, it's very, very expensive. That's why in many cases when corporations have aging plant and equipment, it's cheaper to tear it down if they don't need it than it is to try to maintain it, Austin. So that's a little bit of word, food for knowledge. That's why so many people, when they get older and they get ready to retire and the kids are all gone and they're still living in a big house, they say, I've had enough. We're moving into a condo or we're going to live in an RV because we're not going to maintain this property and mow these yards and do all this other stuff anymore. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, and that's exactly right about those ships, too. That's what I was going to say before you brought it up, is that that's why they're selling them for a dollar. A lot of people want, how can you do that? Well, yeah, man, when you're paying dry dock fees, when you're paying maintenance fees, when you're paying all kinds of personnel, for those ships, if they just sit there unmanned doing nothing, it's still costing money. They still have to sit at the dock. They're still either dry dock if you want to keep them at least somewhat usable in the future. And so when they're telling that those ships, they owe more on the ships than what they're worth, it's easier just to dump them, just to get out of them, dump them, let them go, and be done with it. And I thought it was funny when you said that. It was just the first thing I thought. I was like, maintenance, maintenance, maintenance. Nobody ever wants to put in the money for maintenance when they buy stuff. This is, last week, guys, I brought up what's going on with Target and how they've essentially made it open game for sexual predators in their store. It was pretty egregious, and I didn't even come up with the boycott petition. But at the end of last week, somebody came up with a boycott petition on Target over their new bathroom policy promoting gender exclusivity, and it's already reached over 500,000 signatures. When I checked it earlier today, it was actually almost at 550,000 in like 4 days. And what's crazy, if you guys didn't hear the show the other day, Target's new policy basically states that a man, if he simply feels like a woman today, he can enter a woman's restroom, even if girls or women are already in there. The petition asserts that Target's policy is exactly how sexual predators get access to their victims, and they're extremely right. You know, we've had issues over the last couple of years with this topic, and people have, you know, come in, okay, he's going here, he's going there at schools, but no time now has a business openly told everybody that it's okay, we don't care, you can pretty much do whatever you want to do. And this new policy that Target did just disproportionately endangers female bathroom users. It's stated on here clearly, Target's dangerous new policy poses a danger to wives and daughters. We think many customers will agree, and we think the average Target customer is willing to pledge to boycott Target unless it makes protecting women and children a priority. And this is why I told you guys last week, I said I don't support, I've never supported them after a couple years ago they pulled that Second Amendment garbage and said basically firearms were not allowed in their store, even if they were legally concealed, law-abiding citizens carrying those firearms, they still didn't want them in their store. And I told Landon the other day, I said, don't darken the door of Target again, period. I said, not unless they repeal this. Right now, they've already said they're standing by. And here's a couple articles that this site came out with. Warner Todd Hostin from Breitbart, he came out and he said, we're already having an issue in the United States with sexual predators using the transgender thing as an excuse. But now Target is making it open game without any type of repercussions. They're saying you can do this and we don't mind. Here's a couple incidents that have already happened recently. Seattle Parks and Recreation is facing a first-of-its-kind challenge to gender bathroom rules. A man undressed went into a woman's locker room and began undressing, citing a new state rule that allows people to choose a bathroom based on gender identity. Another one, 33-year-old Palmdale man who allegedly dressed as a woman while secretly videotaping females using department store bathroom was charged with several misdemeanor counts on Tuesday. Another one, a biological man claims to be transgender so he can gain access and prey on women at two Toronto shelters and has been jailed indefinitely now as of last week after being declared by the judge a dangerous offender. This is exactly what we're pointing to when we're talking about this garbage that Target came out with the other day. It is not safe for your women, your wives, your sisters, your daughters to engage in business with that store anymore. And I suggest all you guys boycott that store until they get some sense going on and stop endangering people that are... Remember, guys, the transgender population is only 0.3% of the entire United States population. 0.3%. That's it. And they're saying now that those 0.3% of people are more important than the rest of the entire country because they don't want to be any type of gender problems. They want to just be gender neutral about everything. This is the kind of stuff that we have to make a stand on. This is the stuff we cannot allow to continue to happen, or else America is going to go further and further down in this black hole. There'll be little chance we can ever get out of it, guys. This is something everybody needs to be adamant about if you know what I'm talking about here. I can't be any more clear than that.
I agree with you, Austin, but we're not going to stop it. It's not going to happen. It's going to get to that point. We're going to have women and men going each other's bathrooms. We're going to have the pedophiles and the perverts, all of it. You know, unless we get an executive order to stop it. And the only person that I know who would do that would be Donald Trump. He could, I guess, I don't even know if he has the right to do that and usurp states' rights. Because this is turning into individual corporations, private corporations, and states now that are making this stuff legal.
Yeah.
And so you have a situation in which the politicians, these corrupt pieces of crap that we put in charge are the ones doing this. They should have already stopped all of this in Florida with Target. They should have said, no, we're going to pass legislation preventing men from using women's bathrooms, whether they're transgender or not. If Target wants to, and we've said this before on the show, if Target wants to basically go after the transgender market, the 0.03% of the market, if they want that so desperately they have to have it and they want to stroke them and love them and hug them and kiss them and hold them, if they want to do that, well, have at it. I don't have to go to Target. Number two, they need to give them their own bathrooms. They need to say, this is a transgender for all you deviants who want to use it. This is your bathroom. Here it is. Have fun with it. Do what you need to do in there. The rest of us don't want to be involved in it. So then all the weirdos and the perverts can run into that bathroom and not subject our daughters and our sons to this type of nonsense behavior. I mean, we've already had these places and parks all over the country, all over the world, that you have all of these pedophiles and homosexuals and people who hang out by bathrooms who want to perform sex acts. I mean, Rubio was arrested outside of one of these bathrooms down in Miami back in the 90s. I mean, this is the kind of perversion that goes on already. And now we're saying through Target, we don't care what you do in the bathroom. Everything's fine with us. It doesn't make any difference. If you want to walk in there and you're a guy and you want to strip down naked, take a shower in the sink, have at it. Women won't mind. Little girls won't mind. What a bunch of sinking... The Bible says in the book of Genesis, every thought all of the time was evil. Every thought was evil all of the time. Now, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be with my return, when every thought is going to be evil all of the time. Now, Jesus didn't say the thought is evil all the time, but that's the way it was in the days of Noah. See, this is what's happened in the United States. This is where we are. This is the situation that we now find ourselves in. We've allowed the communists to come over here from Russia and from Germany back in the 30s and the 40s and brought them in. McCarthy tried to warn us about it in the 50s. They had taken over Hollywood. These are the Sabbatean Frankist Kabbalists, the Jewish folks that run Hollywood. Almost all of them are Luciferians. They're all horrible. They're not all horrible people, but almost all of them are horrible people. This is not talking about the Jews in general in the United States, where 99% of them have no idea what's going on in Hollywood any more than we do. I'm talking about these communist Luciferian Satanists that came over here and took over Hollywood and control the media and was considered morally right and morally wrong in the United States of America. They're the ones who control it. They say they control it. They're the ones that promote all of this draconian mess that we're in the middle of. They're the ones that take and give the Emmys and the Oscars and all the filth at the Super Bowl. All of it. All of it. It's the Sabbatean, Frankist, Kabbalist, Luciferians. They're an orchestra. They're working with the Catholic Church. They're working with the Bilderberger groups. They're working with the Trilateral Commissions. They're working with the Council of 300. They're working with the Bohemian Grove people. They're all working in this thing together. The CIA, it's all about bringing in a new world order under Lucifer. That's what this whole thing is about. Read the book of Revelation. It tells you what they're going to do. It's not hidden from you, for heaven's sakes. Read the book. This is what they want to do. They believe they're the divine, they're the sons of the fallen, the Benigni Nephilim, I think it's called what they call it, And they say that they're the ones that have actually got their DNA all the way from Lucifer, all the way through. I mean, these are some sickos. Now remember, 99% of the Christians don't know this is going on. 99% of the Jews don't know this is going on. 99% of the Muslims don't know this is going on, along with the Hindus and the Buddhists. It's certain groups of people that are involved in the Catholic Church, in the Vatican, in the CIA, in Hollywood, in the Mossad. They're involved in all of this mess, and they're working together in as an orchestra to bring in this new world order, this global world order, in which they're going to destroy the whole planet the best of their ability to start with, and then bring in a Luciferian doctrine and religion. That's the goal here, son. That's what they want to do, and the sad part about it is nobody wants to talk about it because it's not politically correct because you're talking about Muslims or you're talking about the Jewish people in Hollywood or you're talking about the Jewish bankers. Wait a minute, guys. You're going to have to call it what it is, okay? It's a new world order. These guys are bringing it together, and they don't care. They don't care what they say or what they do or how they treat people. This is part of that communist takeover from the Rothschild Bank back in the early 1900s with the Bolsheviks. When they came in, they start slaughtering the people of Russia. They slaughtered their own Jewish neighbors, their own Christian neighbors. They didn't care. Stalin and Lenin and these guys, they killed like 50, 60 million people. They don't care. That's who has come in here, and they've combined that with fascism now from these Nazis that have come over with Operation Paperclip, and that's what's bringing in this the Bush Nazi faction, and that's what's bringing in this giant Bohemian Grove New World Order of these weirdos. And so unless we get somebody in the White House who's going to stand for the aggregate of the American population, see, the American people are so dumbed down, Austin, the vast majority of them have no idea any of this is going on. They have no idea. They've been brainwashed by the Scofield Bible. They become Zionists. They think that Israel can never do any wrong. It doesn't matter how many Palestinians they kill, whatever they do, it doesn't make any difference. That's not true. Israel was completely scattered to the winds in 70 AD, and the state of Israel now, right now, that's there, is a godless group of people. It's the number one homosexual place in the world, Tel Aviv is. I mean, this is crazy. And we think, as Christians, we're supposed to support this. We're supposed to pray for Israel. We're supposed to pray for the children of Abraham. That's what we're supposed to do. It doesn't say send them weapons or send them bombs or send them money. Remember, the Arabs are also the children of Abraham. Are we supposed to be giving them money? Oh, that's right. We give them money too, don't we? So the sad part about all of this, Austin, is that the people in the United States are sleeping. They are completely and totally asleep. Nobody wants to tell the truth about what's going on. This new world order is comprised of all of this. The higher levels of the Vatican, the Bohemian Grove folks, the Bush cartel, the Bush Fine family, hidden aspects of the CIA, the Satanist group, this Hollywood people out there, the international banking community, all of this ties together. And nobody wants to talk about it, Austin. It's absolutely sad to me.
Yes, it is. It really is. I mean, because the truth is, nobody brings it up in the mainstream media.
We got to remember, the Rothschilds own the mainstream media. They own.
Yep.
They own Reuters. They own the AP Wire. 95% of the media is owned by these guys. Why in the world are they going to slam themselves? Also, they own almost all of the drug companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the manufacturing facilities that are still left in the United States. That's who owns it all, or the bankers. They have completely and totally taken over the United States in the last 103 years since 1913, when Woodrow Wilson, probably the greatest traitor to the United States ever, allowed it to happen and brought it in because he was scared they were going to blackmail him about his multiple affairs. And so the sad part about this is it's honest now. We've got to call it out for what it is. It's the international banking community of the Rothschilds that are the financial arm controlling this, along with the Vatican Bank bringing in all kinds of trillions of dollars through illegal drug importation into the CIA, into the United States, through the Exchange Stability Fund, being deposited and laundered in all of these international banks, including the Vatican Bank, and then being used for the covert ops that are being done all over the United States, including Operation Gladio, which is now going to be back in full swing, apparently, in Europe this summer, and Operation Condor, which I don't think ever ended in South America. It doesn't end. When you let these guys get in charge, they don't stop. They just keep going and going and going. And now they're all working together. All of these different groups that I mentioned. It's not just the Jews. It's not just Bohemian Grove. It's not just these people. Because remember, the vast majority of the Christians have no idea what's going on. The vast majority of the Jews have no idea what's going on. The vast majority of the Muslims have no idea what's going on because they're being kept in the dark. It's the hierarchy of these people that we've put in the public office who are there through communism and through dictatorship that they're allowing these people to control the entire pyramidal hierarchy of the New World Order, son. And that's what's going on. I can't lay it out any better than that. Unless I go into detail with each of the individual groups. But that's what's going on. And then now you have to tie the Masonic lodges into it also, because the Masonic lodges were used through Operation Gladio to basically, you know, help bring this money in, and that's why they brought so many of the Masonic lodge people into the Catholic Church, into the Vatican, because they knew they could keep secrets. I mean, this thing's, you need to read the book Operation Gladio: The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Mafia, and the Vatican. Everybody needs to read that book. Everybody needs to read Pawns in the Game by William Carr. I've asked you guys to read that 100 times. It's free online. It's a PDF. And then also read Dr. Monteith's book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you read those books, you'll have a better idea what's going on. If you want to expand yourself a little bit further, get The Fourth Reich by Jim Mars. That'll also light you up and get you an understanding of what's happening. But that's what's happening with all of this. The problem is the Zionists have made everything about Zionism. If you say anything about that, you're an anti-Semite. And that's what they've done. They've branded everybody as being an anti-Semite. It's complete and total nonsense. So we're supposed to stay here and get raped by the Rothschild banking cartel and never say anything about it, or we're an anti-Semite. Are you joking me? I'll give David Icke credit. He wrote that book. He said, Zionism, they dare not speak its name. And it's one of the best articles I've ever read on Rothschild Zionism that's ever been written. And David Icke is the one who wrote it and called it out. And I admire him for doing what he did on that, Oz.
Now, you mentioned earlier the Operation Gladio. You said something about this summer. What have you heard about that so far?
They're already saying that they're bringing Operation Gladio back in, though I'm sure they'll probably use a different name, but it's the same thing, in which they start having terror attacks all over Europe. Particularly, I think I did that on Friday or Sunday. I can't remember. I did it once last week. I forgot that one of the shows we did. And I talked about how they're bringing it in to Italy, to Germany, to Spain, and they've already flagged the countries they're going to, France, and they're going to start having massive amounts of explosions. See, back in the 70s and the 60s, the communists were basically being targeted as the boogie guys, and so they were having all these, quote, communist bombings going off, and they were blaming it all on the communists at the Soviet Union. They weren't even doing it. It was our CIA. It was Operation Gladio. They were the ones, the CIA was involved in doing it. It's all false flags. If you read that book, you can learn all about that. The communists weren't even involved in it. They were trying to figure out, you know, how to feed all those people they got out of East Germany, Poland, and Czechoslovakia, and Hungary. Couldn't feed them, and so they didn't know how to do all this stuff. They were just trying to survive because communism doesn't work. And see, they all know that, but they don't care. Again, this is about the interdimensional entities that run the planet, these demons and these weirdo witches and all the other people that are running around doing all this crazy stuff, and the warlocks and all these people that are like Harry Potter world, right? And they're working in the CIA, and they're the ones that are trying to tie us into the artificial intelligence. I've done multiple shows on this, and that's what's going on. You say, well, that all sounds crazy to me. Well, God, it sounds crazy to me too. I think it's nuts. I think all of it's nuts. And the problem is the deeper you dig down this stupid rabbit hole, the worse it gets, Austin. It gets ridiculous. It all sounds crazy to me. I think chemtrails are crazy. Are you joking? You get to watch that stuff get sprayed on us every day. We can't do anything about it. Are you joking? I talked about that in detail last night on Dave Hodges' show. Anyhow, I'm ranting, Austin. Forgive me. I'm all fired up.
The chemtrails are definitely something I think frustrating to everybody because so many people are starting to wake up to them now, and it's the big elephant in the room that nobody will address, the government and the media, anything. I mean, they won't address it. And, you know, it's just something that, I mean, regardless if they even speak the truth, which they don't, I wish somebody would at least bring it to light and say, yes, this is what we're doing. We're doing this. We're doing that. But it's so crazy because nobody will admit to anything. It's like, I remember they did that undercover footage a couple years ago where they went to members of Congress and stuff like that, and they brought it up. Everybody did. I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never seen anything like that before. I've never seen any bill like that. I don't have any idea. I can neither confirm nor deny those allegations. I have no idea.
One thing, too, I told Tex Mars when I interviewed him on this in the Power Hour, and I need to correct what I just said because this is the better way of looking at it. You know, you can't call them Christians or Bohemian Groves or supposedly Christians who claim to be Christians or Jews or Christians or Mohammedism or all these people that are involved in all this. The one word that sums them up, and you should keep it in this category, is Luciferians or Satanists. That's the truth. Because these people, a lot of them may not have any Jewish blood in them, but they claim to be Jewish. They may not have any Christian values in them, but they claim to be Christian. They may not have any Muslim blood in them, but they claim to be Muslim. But the truth of the matter, if they're all under that same blanket of Lucifer, it doesn't matter what denomination they were born into or what, not denomination, what race they were born into, they're no longer part of that. They're all serving Lucifer. And see, that's the thing that we all need to understand what's going on. And this complete and total pretending like none of this stuff's happening around us, it's nonsense, Austin. It's just going to get worse. That's why I said we have been so caught up in this veil of secrecy and this veil of illusion that we live in that nobody wants to stop and pull the blinders off and say, wait a minute, what's really going on? Read the book, read that article by David Icke that they dare not call its name Zionism. You can pull it up online. It's free. Read the whole article and look at all of the political Zionists that are in the Obama administration, the Bush's administration, and how they're completely and totally controlling Washington. Ted Cruz is one of them. And that's what's going to happen if he gets in. It's going to be all more and more of the same old Bush, the same old Clinton, the same old Obama agenda. The same thing with Clinton if she gets in. But I don't think they want Clinton in there. I think they're going to put Ted Cruz in there. I think they really want Cruz in. And I just hope and pray that that doesn't happen because it doesn't matter. They've already shown us that our votes don't count. They can do whatever they want to do. They showed us in Colorado, and the only way that we're going to do this is we're going to have to protest in aggregate at the Republican convention and let people know we're not going to take it anymore, Austin. Otherwise, it's not going to help anything. It's not going to help.
No.
I think we're out of time.
Yeah.
Well, guys, God bless you. By the way, healthmasters.com. Never mentioned it one time. Healthmasters.com. Sign up for our free newsletters. Support us with nutritional supplements. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening today. Go ahead and close, Oz.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. And also, too, I never got to go over it, but definitely keep a lookout for silver right now. It's doing some weird things. You know, remember at the beginning of the year, it broke the 80-to-1 ratio with gold. Silver's more than likely poised to have a pretty big rebound this year, so keep an eye on it. If you are looking at getting some, I would definitely suggest getting some in the near future. It's a great, great metal to have on hand. We appreciate you guys. Go ahead and give us a call if you need anything or email us at healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.